I don't know about you, but I do love the Love Heart. I love it. I've always loved it. I like to think that it's my Scandi roots, which... or maybe it's just that it has sort of good and happy associations. I don't know. But I love the shape of the heart, whether it's on paper or whether it's embossed or whether it's multidimensional. And while it can be a little bit abused, it can, can't it? Fundamentally, it's a lovely symbol, isn't it, of love. And it's all, of course, it's all over the place this weekend. And I heard recently on the radio that a metal detectorist, you might have heard this, had recently found, a once-in-a-lifetime find, in a Warwickshire field, a Tudor pendant given by Henry VIII to Catherine of Aragon. I think it's rather beautiful, do you? Absolutely beautiful. And it's just been sold to the British Museum for over £3 million. I don't expect any of you have ever received anything quite like that. But as we well know, Valentine's Day is all about showing love, isn't it, to our loved ones, or declaring and celebrating love and affection, commitment and faithfulness, something that I don't think Henry VIII did very well. I don't think he managed it. Actually, Valentine's Day originates from a Christian feast day honouring a martyr named Valentine. And through later folk tradition, it's also become a significant global cultural event for romance, friendship and appreciation, marked by cards, flowers, gifts and chocolates, expressing love for our romantic partners, family and friends. And according to my research, poor old Valentine, that's a funny old picture, that's the best we could find. According to my research, poor old Valentine was executed by the Roman Emperor Claudius II for secretly marrying Christian couples during the 3rd century. I don't know if you knew that. And another story involves the practice of writing love notes or love letters, and it said that St. Valentine wrote the first Valentine greeting to a young girl that he had fallen in love with, and then signing his letters from your Valentine, a commonly used phrase today. And although St. Valentine is still recognised as a saint in the Catholic Church, the Church has removed the feast day from its calendar. So there's a little bit of information. I noticed when I was shopping in Tesco's recently, the slogan for all the merchandise and all the paraphernalia associated with Valentine's Day, which was "Share the Love." And it struck me as quite a good slogan, actually. I liked it. And as you know, there are so many Bible verses pertaining to the concept of sharing love, aren't there? "Dear friends, let us love one another." This is John in 1 John. "Let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." And in 1 Peter, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins." And it's obviously something very close to God's heart, isn't it, that we share his love. And it's a concept that we talk about and hopefully demonstrate toward one another in the community. And certainly recently within this church, where there's been a lot of illness, there is a lot of illness at the moment, a lot of people who are going through a rough time, there have been many examples of shared love and acts of kindness towards one another, which has been really beautiful to see. And the source of that love, as we know, is God. "The Lord is good, his love is eternal, and his faithfulness lasts forever. And I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I've drawn you to myself." God is the source of love. And so we have this amazing security and heritage and legacy as Jesus' followers and as his disciples of being so loved that we might have the capacity to love not just God, but ourselves and each other. We can love because of the love that we have received, demonstrated on the cross. God first loved us. And as we know that well-known verse, just to remind you, God so loved the world that he sent his only son to die for us, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal love. So God's commitment to us is extravagant, isn't it? And unending. He knows everything about you and me. Did you know that? He knows everything about you. And he longs to be with us. And though he proved it once on the cross, he wants to continue to be revealed throughout eternity. And how is he revealed? He's revealed through us. We are cherished and loved by God that we might share the love. So there are two aspects of this that I'd like to centre on today before I look at what might stop us sharing God's love with those around us. So firstly, God's love is unconditional. I wonder how many of us grew up believing that we had to earn our parents' love or from significant others, and then have lived by an unconscious belief that has informed the way that we have done life, where we have felt that we need to earn love or to prove ourselves worthy of it. I wonder. Inevitably, what we have experienced in our early years creates what I might call a core self or a belief system about life, whereby we behave off the back of it. I wonder if you recognise that in yourself. The thing about God, our Heavenly Father, is that he doesn't offer conditional love. He offers unconditional love, whereby we don't have to do or be or do anything. Sorry, we don't have to do or be anything other than ourselves. We cannot make him love us more or less. Does it please him when we live by faith and according to his commands? Yes, it does. But does it make him love us more or less? No. And so if you are somebody who has only ever experienced conditional love, this truth is a really big deal for you, and maybe you just need to hear it again today. So I'm just going to pray. Thank you, Lord, that you are the God of unconditional love. Please help me to learn to live a different experience. Amen. Okay, another aspect of this love is that God's love is consistent. God does not just offer unconditional love, but he offers consistent love. God is consistent. He is never changing. He is love. He does not dish out love one moment and then withhold it the next. Unlike many of us in our human nature, he offers us a full, consistent way of being. How many of us have issues with consistency? You are a very special person if you're able to say that you are consistent in your love and affirmation of those around you. Many of us have not experienced humanly that incredible gift. It is a gift to be loved consistently. And as you would imagine, it leads to deep insecurity and deep pain and confusion in, of course, leading on to many inevitable behaviours. A deep need for affection or affirmation, often where we run to the wrong things, which can manifest in all sorts of ways and some very broken ways. But we have, as God's disciples, as God's followers, a God who loves unconditionally and consistently. What a blessing. And for many who come to Christ, this is one of the most healing things. This discovery of being loved in this way. You may be familiar with the Dawson's Creek actor, James Van Der Beek. Do any of you know that guy, a very thoughtful person, I think, who actually died this week of bowel cancer. And interestingly, he recently posted on Instagram a statement of the discovery over the past incredibly hard year where he'd been battling his cancer. His newfound identity, not as an actor or a husband or a father, he actually had six young children, because these things had become so difficult for him, actually impossible, but as one loved by God. And actually, it's been reposted so many times, not least by Pete Gregg. But actually, I think it's really struck a chord with a lot of people. It's a really precious post that he had posted just before he died. But that was his discovery, the discovery of being loved in this way. And you may know the story of the Velveteen Rabbit. Who loves the Velveteen Rabbit? It's a very precious story, isn't it? It's a beautiful book to read to grandchildren. But I think it's kind of something we quite like at Appeals. I love this story. It's the story about a stuffed rabbit who learns from the very wise skin horse that toys become real through a child's lasting love. The rabbit eventually becomes the beloved companion of a little boy until illness threatens to separate them, and leading a magical fairy to transform the shabby but cherished rabbit into a truly living creature. And it's a tale of imagination growing up and the profound transformative power of love. And the main theme is the experience of the toy rabbit being deeply loved by the boy and then eventually becoming real. Reality comes from being deeply loved and not from physical form. And of course, there are other themes going on too, but the idea of being loved, releasing one into a reality of being, a realization of who we truly are, and therefore what we have to offer to the world, is really profound. Being loved enables us to be fully who we were made to be. And what we have to offer to the world is the discovery of the reality of God's love for us. So, in the light of that, what stops us sharing the love? Well, I've come up with a few thoughts on this. I'm sure you could think of many more, but I'm going to offer you a few. A few of the reasons that we hold back. Firstly, fear. Let's look at fear. Fear of what, we might ask. Let's ask ourselves that. Fear of offending people, fear of looking foolish, fear of being exposed in some way, fear of someone's pain or disappointment in life. Fear, as a definition, is the emotion we feel in the light of a threat of danger or pain. Fear is an unavoidable part of life. So let's validate that fear that many of us feel for all the reasons that I've mentioned. Let's accept that for many of us, it exists. We all fear different things, don't we? But how do we deal with it? Well, by acknowledging it and bringing it to God. My conversation might go a little bit like this. God, I feel fear of so many different aspects of life, let alone talking about you and sharing your love with people. That's okay, Karen. I have two reasons why that might be so. But what I suggest is that you walk closely with me, my beloved, and we can do this together. The main thing is that you are yourself, that you don't try to be anything that you're not. In my word, which I encourage you to meditate on, there are examples of people who've overcome fear by acknowledging my presence and walking closely with me. Characters like Moses and Joshua and Peter and Mary. And of course, there are many Bible verses, aren't there, which urge us not to fear. And so, you know, that well-known verse in Isaiah comes to mind. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be displayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will help you with my right. I will uphold you with my right hand. And in that verse, God is assuring his people, isn't he, that he, the source of all strength and help, is with them, and that they should not fear any situation that they face. And just as a parent can reassure their children, so can God reassure us with his presence and with his care, just as he did his people. And another verse, a well-known verse, is Proverbs 3:5-4. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. I love that verse. And this is about acknowledging and trusting in the sovereignty of God. When we comprehend that God is in control, it subdues our anxiety and urges us to place our trust in him. Sometimes that's easier said than done, isn't it? And there's a point, isn't there, in the Gospels where Jesus asks his disciples, he says, why are you afraid? Do you still have faith? Do you still have no faith? And that always seems a little bit harsh to me. But really, Jesus is encouraging his disciples, who incidentally are in the middle of a storm at the time, to trust him. Trusting Jesus and having faith that he is who he says he is and changes everything. Because that means he has the power to silence all fear. And do you remember the well-known story of Peter walking out on the water to meet Jesus? And Jesus is walking the other way. And Peter begins to sink. And he begins to sink when he takes his eyes off Jesus. Focusing on Jesus does give power of faith over fear. Believe me, I know, I've been there. But perfect love drives out fear, says in 1 John 4:18, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is made perfect in love. And of course, the ultimate victory over fear is the love of God, which is what I'm telling you all about and reminding you. And so where we're fearful about sharing God's love with others and finding ways of demonstrating his love, not just within our body, but outside of this church community, we have only to look to the author of love for his strong presence and strength and guidance. There is no fear in love. Okay, so what else might stop us from sharing the love? This, my second thought, is hurt or disappointment. When we're hurt by someone, what is our response? Our response is to self-protect, isn't it? Why wouldn't we? And that might look like retreat, withdrawal from the world, from anybody who could hurt us. We're de-energized, aren't we? And often our world kind of shrinks, it contracts in order to take care of ourselves. And we can lose our capacity for more than we have to do. Some of you will know what I mean by that. Humans hurt each other, and hurt people hurt people. And I can guarantee in this room that at some point in our lives, we will have both caused hurt and been hurt. But where is God when it hurts? Well, that would take another full talk, and I'm not going to do that one, on issues around suffering and pain, whether physical or emotional. But suffice it to say, God is close to the brokenhearted and he heals the brokenhearted. God knows what it is to be betrayed and rejected and suffer. He understands our emotions completely and where we have been hurt. He sits in them. And we have examples in the Bible of not just Jesus' own suffering on earth, which we know about, but that, for instance, of David and latterly the disciples, lots of examples. There are Bible references regarding hurt or betrayal and pain, which offer comfort and guidance, relying on God's strength and comfort. One of them is from John 16. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And then in from one of the Psalms, the Lord is a shelter for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Do we believe that? And if we feel wronged and we want justice, well, ultimately, it's God's justice that we can trust in and we can surrender to. And in doing so, we might just find a greater capacity to forgive. And so that brings me on to the concept of unforgiveness and how unforgiveness, along with fear and hurt, can stop us or prevent us from being able to share the love. Unforgiveness is exhausting. But not only that, apparently unforgiveness of others can hinder our own forgiveness from God. It blocks prayers and it can allow bitterness to take root. And we're reminded, aren't we, in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sins, God, as we forgive those who sin against us. And in Hebrews, there is a real reminder, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no root of bitterness springs up to cause trouble and defile many. And I think that's a pretty strong verse, isn't it? Suggesting that not only is unforgiveness detrimental to us and our own spiritual health and even physical health, but that also it can be detrimental to other people around us. Unresolved anger or hurt or resentment or bitterness corrupts us and it prevents us from receiving God's grace. And when we have bitterness in our heart, it's almost like we can't breathe spiritually. It chokes our happiness and healthy emotions and it eventually can strangle our spirit. It weighs us down and it depresses us. It's like carrying this huge weight. And it's to do, really, with holding on to something where someone has wronged us. And we think that by holding on to it and remaining bitter, we are punishing that other person and making them miserable. And in fact, it is us we are punishing. It's like the drinking the poison. And hoping that it damages the person who hurt you. And the only way forward is forgiveness in order to find spiritual health. But forgiveness is a journey, and it may mean forgiving and releasing somebody, or it may mean forgiving and reconciling, depending on the situation. And it is a process. And sometimes it takes time to get to that initial place of surrender. But God knows you, he knows me, he knows our pain, and he has a way forward. And a good prayer is, Lord, help me to forgive. We need God's help. And I'm just going to stop and I'm going to pray that prayer. There may be somebody even now who you can think of immediately who you have to forgive, and you might have forgiven them many times, but you might need to forgive them again, because maybe, as happens with forgiveness, you could feel the bitterness rising again. So Lord, we give that person to you, that situation to you of hurt, and we simply pray that you would help us to forgive. We need your help. Amen. So it's hard to share love when our hearts remain bitter. And so God is on our case. And gently, as we walk in trust, he will help us. Okay, finally, how do we share love? Well, different ways, aren't there? And the thing about God loving us is that he knows us full well. We are known and understood by him. And my experience of being loved by God is the way in which he demonstrates that love in ways that are so personal to me. It's like he knows me. He knows how to love me. So personal that I probably couldn't share all of them. But let's say he's very kind when it comes to reminding me of things that I'd forgotten or double booked, or people I need to be thinking of, or ways in which I need a little bit of looking after and comfort or beauty. I'm actually wearing a pair of earrings today that a friend bought for me. She prayed a very daring prayer as she came to our house one day many years ago. And she prayed the prayer that if I admired her earrings, she should give them to me. And being me, I noticed her earrings, I admired them. She took them off. They're gold and they're hearts. And she gave them to me. And I look back on that moment, and that was just a little touch of God's love at that moment in my life. God knows how we need to be loved or blessed or valued. He's brilliant at it. And that is the point. He knows our love language. He knew mine in that moment. The language of understanding what makes us feel loved as individuals. Gary Chapman wrote a brilliant book, well known to many. I'm sure many of you have read it and know all about it. The five love languages. He says there are five main love languages. One of them is acts of service. We feel most loved when someone does something practical for us. I don't know, how many of you feel loved when somebody does something for you? Oh, interesting. What about words of affirmation? We feel loved when we're verbally affirmed. Who feels loved when they're verbally affirmed? Physical touch. We feel particularly loved when we're physically hugged or touched. Gifts. Gifts given make us feel loved and known for who we are. You listen to this, chaps. And girls, and women, and all of us. Quality time. We feel loved when time has been especially set aside for us. Who loves quality time? Yeah. Mark and I always joke that we just, you know, it's the five love languages. We don't particularly have one. We need all five. But the theory is that there is one particular one, and knowing our own love language is one thing, but knowing the languages of others is another. Asking ourselves how we best feel loved is an important thing. I really believe, actually, that God wants us to understand ourselves. I think many of us are on a journey, and you know, through life, of understanding what makes us tick and understanding what our love language is. And also to understand the love language of those that we're close to. And sharing the love is about sensitivity to both our own needs and ways of being and that of the person that we want to share love with. So when it comes to loving others, we can both be aware of our natural way of being and the needs of the person we want to share with. For example, are you a practical person? Do you like cooking meals or baking? Or are you chatty, an extrovert? Or are you good at writing cards and showing hospitality? Is it practical help that the person needs, or a word of affirmation, or a small gift, or your time or space? A prayer or a phone call? I urge you not to hold back. The point is, just as we are known and loved by God full well, so we, unencumbered by our own fear or hurt, have the capacity to not only receive, but to share love. The more free we are, the more we have to give. The more we give away, the more we are ready to receive. The more we receive, the more God is able to work through us. The more we share the love of God, the more confidence and trust and healing and wholeness we will experience for ourselves. Well, I think that sounds like a bit of a win. So just before I finish, I want to recommend a book that I have read recently. Has anyone read Theo of Golden?
Anyone read this book? It's the most beautiful, beautiful book. I recommend it to you. It's a story of seeing and being seen. Theo of Golden is a beautifully crafted novel about the power of creative generosity, the importance of wonder to a purposeful life, and the invisible threads of kindness that bind us to one another. I'm not going to tell you more than that because I will give it all away. A friend of mine gave it to me for Christmas and I've so enjoyed it. And it actually kind of has inspired me to do this little talk. And so I didn't want to finish without telling you about Theo of Golden. You can buy it anywhere. It's very popular. And so as I finish, my prayer is that you would know that you are deeply loved. You are all deeply loved. If you don't hear anything else today, please go out of this church knowing that you're loved by our Heavenly Father. My prayer is that He would, that you would so know His love that it would steady you, that it would restore you, that it would overflow through you to others. And so I'm just going to pray as I finish. Lord, may Encounter Vineyard be a place where we don't just talk about love, but where it is seen and felt and lived out. And Lord, if you've touched any areas of pain or difficulty in us today, I want to pray specifically that you would help us, that you would help us move on, whether we received love as unconditional love as young children as we were growing up, whether we had whether we've had difficulties with forgiving. If there's anything that holds us back, then, Lord, we put it into your hands. Thank you that you've heard our prayers today. Thank you that you know our hearts. I pray that you would move us on in a closer relationship with you, where we're prepared to be understood and known, and where we're prepared to give ourselves away. Thank you for each other. Thank you for this moment, and thank you for your love. Amen.